Hi, this is the Dark Tangent. And the speeches you're about to listen to were recorded at DEF CON 6, which was held in July 31st to August 2nd, 1998, at the Plaza Hotel and Casino in Old Downtown Las Vegas. These speeches are copyright, non-commercial use, educational uses only. If you'd like to use them for any other purpose, please contact DEF CON at www.defcon.org or email to dtangent, that's D-T-A-N-G-E-N-T, at defcon.org. Now, some of the speeches were lost, so you're getting what we've got recorded. Now sit back and relax, and here comes some knowledge to your head.
Okay, start up with, I don't know why you're all here. I'm going to tell you everything that you already know. Seriously.
All right, we're leaving.
So, well, I'm just being honest here. I'm not going to give any new breaking news. It's everything we already know, just that I decided to prove it. Slide.
Common knowledge is the major
trainer is related to modem dialogue. There are relatively few, if any, published references. I was writing a report several years ago. They wanted, like, a URL the references of the app. And I was thinking, like, okay, I couldn't find it. In fact, look at other people's websites and we do audit and stuff. Nobody even looked at word dialing. It's like, what? So I figured, I'm going to fix this. So I decided to change it. Well, things are worse than I expected. You surprised?
No.
Interconnectivity modems are equally insecure. People, okay, everybody's going out there buying firewalls. Salespeople are selling you firewalls. Over 80% of your security problems come from the inside. So what are they doing? I mean, it's sort of like for a big lock on your front door, you don't have to worry about the windows. Seriously. Well, internet connectivity, modem connectivity, equally insecure. Big thing. Sysads do not care. I've learned this. I found a lot of insecure systems. I call them up to quote, "Why are you doing this?" A financial institution had modem dial-ups, basically free PPP. Lots of modem banks. They're like, you know, there's no password. And you get out to the internet and into the internal system. Actually, the dial-ups are into the firewall, so you go either direction. Mind you, they fit in the audience. The laws are there are no federal or state ordinances against war dialing. It's a local ordinance. Article 47 of the FCC states it talks about, you know, spamming and cold calling. You're allowed to call somebody once. I know I'm really gray area here, and I'll lose the argument if you argue with me, but you're allowed to call somebody once. I only call people once. It's a borderline thing here. But sysads don't care. Also, it's legal to look at the banner, but you're not allowed to do anything. Like, look at somebody's front door and see that it's a, you know, cheap lock, but I'm not allowed to see if the door is unlocked. Well, that legal part aside, next. I posted a very fan list, that's if anybody's interested. There's a few people in the audience who sent me word little scripts, unfortunately I couldn't use them. To write good statistical data, you need a very controlled environment. In other words, I needed a full exchange. I needed it done on a modem that actually is worth a damn. Hopefully one that actually does 28 or better, since I'm also cataloging speed. So, unfortunately I couldn't use anything. This data is based in the San Francisco Bay Area. Next. These are area codes I hit. MCI had a really cool phone plan in California for a while. $24 a month, unlimited dialing for the entire LATA. My LATA, I'm in 510. My LATA is, let's see, 408, 415, 510, now also 925 we should split, and 707. I got 650, so. That, I mean, I'm in the Bay Area. I was able to call up to the Northern California border. For some reason, they stopped offering this service. 250 calls an hour. Okay, now I'm making the restrict down to 12-mile radius, if you notice. It's got a key bounce there, backup one. If you notice, this is why I'm concentrated 4 or 5 San Francisco. I get 2/3 of San Francisco from where I live. I live in Berkeley, Oakland. I get most of 510. Now, areas of 510 are slightly out of my range. By the way, if you goof up and dial outside your range, it costs you $300. I've done this 4 times. What am I going to do? Argue? Yeah, my girlfriend, you know, gathered some of the bills for me to get the heavy envelope. Next. Simple statistics. I can say 1% is carrier. Now, clap fail, all the things are saying, let's raise the modem rate, let's raise the rate, because everybody can't get on the phone lines. Voice lines are not, you know, our system is designed for low-to-a voice lines, it's not data, blah, 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 blah. 1%, that's a generous number. Actually, numbers recently drifted down towards literally 0.9%. You know, it varies. And this is, you know, this is, by the way, this is of what I dial in California, in the Bay Area, which is arguing up probably the most modems per capita. And I'm still getting 1%. If you average in all phone numbers dialed, you know, like it's stumble upon like a pager bank or something, you know, it drops down to 0.9. So, what are they raising our rates for?
Money!
Port 18.4% busy. I dial it, a few days later, I dial the busies one more time. I really, then I move on. So we're looking at 18% busy. Ring outs, that means like two rings and I hang up. This way I don't trigger your voicemail system. That's then 33.3, timeout. That means somebody picked up. Answer machine. Sorry. Basic circle here, a little, very slight. Currently, 402 exchanges scanned. That was as of a week ago Thursday. I've dialed over 4 million numbers. Next. Okay, now for some like interesting stats you security professionals love. I know where you're doing something. Fold it down here. Okay, dial up to see if the greet users with a welcome message. Point of reference. Talk to my friends at NASA, stuff like that. Then occasionally they fired somebody and he kept dialing in. Why? Well, they never turned off his account, you know, efficiency. And they had a welcome message on the login banner and he got away in court. Anybody who's interested in their dial-up screen secure, no welcome messages. Less than 2% warn away possible intruders. I mean, come on, you know, big, scary, oh no. We've all seen, what movie was that? With the video pirates. The FBI warning comes on the screen, these big, gnarly video pirates look like, ooh, I'm so scared. Yeah. But, if, you know, that's basically the same thing in the sense of look at these warnings. But at least you have, like, how can they didn't know?
On your message, make sure that you specify that they'll be liable for civil liabilities and not just criminal.
And let's see. Majority of dial-ins overly identify themselves. I love stumbling upon an open dial-up system. And, you know, actually, seeing the name, you know, financialsystems.com, that is not a real domain. Probably is a real domain, but not one that I stumbled upon. But it's... I love it. I mean, you know, give me your domain name. I go and I type in who is. I go to your webpage to see who you are, what you are. I call it currency exchange web pages I was able to get into behind the firewall. I have some screenshots of better shit coming up soon. Next. Average, okay, here's some standard statistics. Average is about 94 modems per exchange. How juicy it is. Okay, we've all looked around and poked around the internet, probably with a friend who does, right? Now, what is your chance of getting into, or your friend getting into a system? Well, high percentage of modems exchanges, let's see, 6.1%. This is interesting. UC Berkeley, you know, college is notoriously insecure. Their modems are fucking butt tight. It's, seriously, banks, ISPs are slightly better because they want to make sure you give your password so they can charge you for it. But most companies, forget it. Easy, no problem. Next. Of survey, this is interesting, weird numbers here. I use PhoneLook, by the way. I know every modem I get, but not all modems give me text. In other words, if these are for you, you probably got a kick-ass security system where to type in a password for even answers you. Or maybe just left the modem on and the computer off. I don't know. But 0.8%. So 87% communicate with some type of data. The remaining amount basically has an answer, but nothing happens to you. Misconfigured modems. If you have a computer with a modem and you turn up the modem, if you turn the computer off with the modem on, at least then it's to recognize the DTR, CTR type of thing, so the modem doesn't answer the phone. These are misconfigured. So you got to argue that these are good security systems or misconfigured modems. Next.
Okay, here's some interesting numbers.
Let's see, we have the unauthorized access banners. 1% identify the domain name. Shiva Land Rovers. Oh, they said, hi, I'm Shiva Land Rover. By the way, at, you know, ampersand space, username colon, or user ID colon. That's a Shiva Land Rover. Recognizable, really easy. And I was a bit lazy, a little bit drunk last night. I was hoping to get an internet connection in here so we could go to my webpage. No, you can't get to it yet. I need to sanitize the data. Do you have any idea what type of civil I'd be able to have of reaching this database as is? I'm going to scope it first, then I'll give it away. Then I'm going to give you the numbers, you guys start hacking the site, and all my data, my statistics become improvable. But 2% cheap Land Rovers, 3% Annex, 4% Ascend. I think the Ascend is so low because it's used for just, I'm only doing POTS lines, not ASN. Not other, like, IDSN or something. Phone switches, Roam. Okay, this is interesting. Phone switches, this is the console port. Yep. I'm just putting up temperature in the room, copyright on the OS. Ken Tumasama, we're going to talk to you, he's about around here somewhere. And I think his boss is here. There he is. Come up here. Well, I got to regurgitate what he said, but I'd like to have to give you your impression of anything, any phone switches that answer with, like, hi, Roam. He's in the business of, like, fixing this stuff.
If you don't put a protection device on the maintenance port, you're hacked. Not so much from the standpoint that you've let it open. It's just that it's required. All switches are required to generally pass information to the service provider so that they can fix the switch if there's any problems. 80% of the problems in a PBX can be solved remotely. And there generally is a maintenance port attached to the switch. So you got to protect it. But then some of you put in single-line dial-back devices. Single-line dial-back devices, if you had gone to the 2600 table and looked through some of the old issues, there was an article about how to defeat single-line dial-back. Of course, you know, a publication such as that really doesn't want to give out too accurate of information, and so the article was had a few errors in it. But if you looked in the letters to the editor several issues later, they told you how to correct it. So, two-line dial-back, key authentication, encryption, there are devices out there. Who knows how Lucent protects their switches? What's the device called? What about Siemens? What about Northern Telecom? Now, I'm asking this question for a reason. Most of you get into computer systems. The old school and the old guard out of this community knew telco systems inside and out. Most of you are using scripts.
Yes. Other information you can give me on this is, by the way, these are simply rogue systems that are being bought, not under maintenance contract. I'll get into all of that later. Let's see, what else? Oh, voicemail systems, lots of them. These are not the voicemail as in, hello, use number. Well, actually, here is like, hello, this system. We have 18 hours of recording time left on this machine, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, why should I be getting this? This should be on an inside dial. I should at least call up your number and type in an extension, then get to this prompt. I mean, mind you, it's not security through security, but at least it slows me down by a week. Yes? I found a lot of Taco Bells because they have Taco Bell in their login prompt. The other ones I really can't identify. By the way, they run on SEO a lot. By the way, I interrupt with questions anytime. Yes? I'm still doing experimentation, trying to. I know what PC Anywhere kind of looks like in the dial up. I know what Timbuktu. I need to sit down and make sure I know what they look like. I mean, I can go through the data right here and go, this is probably that, But what are the statistics? You know, 10% are probably Timbuktu. I mean, that's not a hard statistic. But yes, you're right. I run into a lot of PC Anywhere, and I run into a lot. As long as you have PC Anywhere, probably you're going to like this one. When you connect up, it gives you the person's login name and their work group name and all that fun stuff in the handshake.
Related to that, when you find out more about that, can you document it in a page or something?
It'll be documented.
What the standard strings look like when they come back?
It'll be documented. One thing on PC Anywhere is interesting. If you connect up and hit return a bunch of times, you actually get a little prompting system. If you send a control E or some escape character, you get this like line garbage. Well, actually, binary data, handshaking. So we get the binary garbage, so we get the work group name, person name, all that fun stuff.
Like a mangled X modem or something? What? Like a mangled X modem or something
like that? Way too much stuff needs to be identified. Work group name is company name, username, little things like that. If you get a username, you log in, it's very useful. I'll get to that in about 10 more slides. Yes. We'll get to that. Yes. Okay, if you call me up and convince me it's actually your line, maybe a caller ID or actually letterhead or something like that, yes, I'll release the information to you. The only reason I'm not doing it, because if I was to release this information and this person, Hobbit here, was to completely root your server, he's just an evil person, you're going to sue my ass. Yes?
What kind of thinking did you use? In other words, if you hit, let's say, an IBM BIOSync modem, would you have noticed?
The thinking I used was control E, return, 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 pause, 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 return, return, pause, pause, pause. Control E will activate certain types of terminal systems.
Would you think 34 or?
The modem is, okay, I used Zytels and couriers, but we'll get to that. Okay, one more. What was that? Could be, perhaps, I don't know. If anybody wants to educate me on login prompts, I'm not an expert at this login stuff. My background, internet, ARPANET. I never did the BBS thing, I never did the modem thing. It's my first venture into like the phone freaking type of thing. So, yes. He pointed out that Super Land Rovers, and what was the other one? EBM dial? IBM dial. Thick accent. Oh, he said same box. Okay, next. Now. I found out why. Shivas have a dedicated, they fixed this, but if a Shiva's so obsolete, nobody's bought them. If you find them, they've been around for a while. They have an admin account and a root account. The documentation talks about the admin account. So put the password on your admin account, you log into admin, do this to add further modems, blah, 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 blah. People realize there's also a root account built into the system. Root, password, new line, land over, show IP routes, see if it's an internal address. So every time it sends, I love it. I can query my database for the word, send percent sign prompt. Screenfuls. I even bump into a lot of times where you see actually the old ASCII configuration screen. By the way, lots of Ciscos. 25% were enabled. Enable effectively means you on console of a Cisco, if they actually lock it down, you need a password. If they don't lock it down, you have some like simple commands like telnet, ping. And you type enable that and type an administrator password, or enabling password, they get to actually configure the thing. A lot of them were like left there, ready to be configured. I have a question for you. Why would anybody put a modem on their on the box like that? Hold on. Today's modems are smart enough to have built-in passwords into the modem at least. We have a rack system here. We've got the Cisco here. We've got modems up here. And I can see the guy carries his notebook in to plug it in. And being in California, we had an earthquake, and the modem fell off the shelf, plugged itself into the console. I hope it did that, and that you didn't just leave your modem turned on like this. Another thing, by the way, Radio Shack sells nice little X10 remote controls, dial number, punch system tones. It's really useful for modem banks. Two things for modem banks. This way you can power cycle modem bank remotely, or you can perhaps turn on the modem before you dial in. Gee, that little bit of security, out of band security is always good. Mind you, security is good security, but it's out of band. It's better than this. Next. Just meaningless statistics. What bond rate did I get? You don't see 900 much. One note about baud rate. If it connects to 1200 baud, it's juicy. Seriously, if it's 1200 baud, it's some type of controlling system. It's a juicy dial-up. It's a heating controlling system for a building. It's, you know, it's your Octel voicemail. It's something good. You know, when you get the higher numbers up here, it's a more modern system. But, you know, that baud rate, I mean, when I go through the log files, like 1200 baud, it's going to be good. Yeah. No, actually not. Yeah, I didn't get, well, I gave up to 2 rings. Cold cost pick up, I believe, 10 rings. Next. Yeah.
When you made your message
string, to reflect on prompt,
include any control characters?
Control E, new line, pause. I agree. I was actually thinking about fixing this problem is it will fuck up my data. If I go back and do this, then I get to know I won't have hard statistics. When I start finding those new machines, I can't give percentile. I have to start tracking which ones are different. This is all done on flat file systems with Perl scripts. By the way, those people, by the way, Wobbly Weaving Tools, I have anybody who's total directed that. You run a guy like that to PBM converters, you generate GIF images. Really convenient, actually. But, okay, residential exchanges. Okay, people here play with tone logs. If you're not, here's a quick definition. Great little utility called tone map. It generates a 100 by 100 square. That is, let's say this is the 849 exchange. That's 849000, 849999, 849000. So you get an idea, we're dialing this way. I actually do random dialing, so it's, but still, but just get the countdown. This is, you know, scrambled eggs here. You know, probably bits of residential and business, stuff like that. 109 modems. Yellow are modems. Red is busy. Gray is timeout. And I think the green is, okay. Yeah, green is supposed to be timeout and gray is, well, whatever. The colors get all fucked up. Next. This is more of a business exchange. Business exchanges typically give it up in banks. You don't get the entire exchange unless you can prove it and give money. So you get a slot. You get like the 5,000 through something else. Ken, what's the official name for that?
Not to be sure.
No. There's a name for it, but I forget, so I'm not a phone person. Okay. So here we are. ISP show up as yellow. I mean, gee, here's an ISP that landed a few hundred dial-ups right there. We have some heavy reds here. This might be a pager bank or a voicemail system. They busied out the extra modems. Here, 123 modems. Shitloads of busy. Bunch of timeouts. But this, you look at that, you pretty much, that's a business exchange. And you just look at the squares, you just see it. Next. Again, this is actually my home exchange. Let's see, I'm 2230, so about 22 in, 30 down. I'm right around there. Maybe that couple of those yellows are my modem banks anyway. This is an old exchange. This has been around forever. This used to be a 415 area code, now it's a 510 area code. That's a modem bank, right out of the middle of a residential block. Modem banks show up as, you know, either if you don't have a page or modem bill, you busy them out. Haven't sold them, they busy them out. Get quick beep, beep, beep. By the way, Sportsters suck. Sportsters hear the beep, beep, beep of a modem, they go, oh, busy. I had to throw away so much data because of that. Particular exchange mixes. So this is an interesting one. There's actually businesses in here, but this is an old block. This is why it's random and that. Next. A lot of people ask me for time to look at things. It's too much an effort for me to try to redial like 12 hours later. You know, there's so much there's a delaying. There's no guarantee how long the run's going to take. It's just I just need to run through it. Yeah. White pages. in the white pages, here's a list of local numbers that you can call without paying a toll. 12-mile radius. Or just type in those exchanges. And occasionally they do a split off in the area, like we did 925, it was the Pac Bell webpage, click, click, click. Here's all the exchanges in 510 that are now 925. Thank you. Makes my life easier. But here we are. Can you spot the Netcom battle fans? Really easy. And this, I expect to say well. Actually, seriously, folks, this is yet another pager bank, but busy signals. Up here? Yeah, it's probably a little high speed. I have to look at the data to catch it. Next. UC Berkeley. Kind of yellow, isn't it? But, yeah, randomized, UC Berkeley had 642 for the longest time. They had a second exchange about 8 years ago, 643. That was after the advent of computers and modem dial-up. So probably some of the original banks around here, some busies, and, I was going to hit a voicemail bank here or something. That purple here. Couriers will recognize voice and say, voice. Zytels don't. So purple is voice. It picks it up. You have an operator talking. Who knows? But this is Berkeley. Most secure, most populated. Next. Okay, what did I discover? This is what you came for, didn't you? Firewall router consoles. I love that stuff. Guys, I don't even know why I pay for, high-speed internet service in my house. I got it free. Environmental controls. Want Trump to heat on somebody? Trump to light. I mean, Sears building in Oakland, I've got the lighting system. Terminal servers, way too many. Unix shells. The only reason you have a Unix shell if you misconfigured your hardware. Look what carrier the PIN is. Make sure your computer listens to carrier. A lot of modems come with carrier on by default. Wrong. You should drop your PIN should drop carrier. Your modems are DT. By the way, modems also do a DT to reset on. Was it a DTR drop? It's a bunch of things to do. It's usually one of the pre-configurations of a modem, usually ampersand F2 with a preload that is sane. But things are, we get these Unix shells in there? Seriously. No reason. The modems are told the computer, I died. But what happens? You dialed in, you hung up, it's still there. DOS shells, yes. Anybody ever concurrent DOS?
Yeah.
Actually, if anybody actually really knows about concurrent DOS, I'd like you to talk to you a little bit later, because I know a bunch of it. By the way, if anybody has any children in the Bay Area and has seen a Dr. Smith, I believe, he's on Russell Street, I can pull up your child's records. Concurrent DOS. And by the way, he has been told, I leave messages, he works across the street from my doctor. He lives right across the hallway of me. I have called him up. A reporter did a bit on this. The reporter actually did a lot of good footwork contacting victims, people, whatever, and talking to them. We left messages on his voicemail with the secretary, no uncertain terms of what we found. And he has not returned my phone call. This guy is a civil suit waiting to happen. T1 multiplexers. This is my favorite. Oakland Fire Dispatch. Okay. Many of you could be a fan. I'm not a fan. I'm not an ARC. This is the first time I ever called up the FBI and turned something in. I'm sorry. Take 2 points away from my eliteness. I don't care. Andy Black spoke here at DEF CON. We all have his number. I actually called him up and said, listen, I'm not comfortable doing this, but this is fucked. You didn't get it from me. This is Pete. This is Anonymous. This is bad. They'll listen to you. You fix it. That's the only time I've ever turned something to the Fed. Yes, they fixed it in 2 days. And if you want to slap me on the back of the wrist for talking to a Fed, fine, whatever. This should happen.
That was the
Oakland Fire Department. I'll give you the screen in a minute. Cody's Bookstore. Unfortunately, when one of the reporters did the research, they run, by the way, concurrent DOS. And this is basically the ordering database. No, they don't carry Carol Manel's book. They did, they wouldn't. But effectively, we called them up. We called the manager. It turned out, yes, we opened up security net things. We had problems dialing in. The password database was broken up, so we turned passwords off on the port. So people would get in and never fixed it for a year and a half. You know, they got BBAS, sorry. List goes on. This is just like the juicy one that came to mind when I was writing these slides. Quite literally, with like 4 million numbers, I mean, there's not enough coffee in Vegas to keep us up going through this data. In fact, it's difficult for me to go through that much ASCII data. Next. Okay, your guess is as good as mine. We identified this as some type of muck for T1, Chevron, Richmond, they know. But, you know, looking at this stuff, we have, you know, diagnostics, line card, T1, CSU, alarms, or CR2, you know, clear down, you know, display, you know. So you pretty much figure out what it is. But you connect up, you get this. There's a guy who goes to 2600. Another reason people should attend 2600 meetings. Yes, the manual if you're in the room. Why is it your articles are so badly copy-edited for content? They come out every quarter. But the meetings are good to go to. And you will learn. If you go there for the script case, come back 6 months later. A quick plug for hacker meetings. Bring cool shit to give away. Why? Someone think you're cool and they'll try to outdo you. And then people start sharing information. And pretty soon you have a better environment. But this guy goes there and hang out, we chat. He was at DEF CON last year, wasn't this year. I handed him this, he said thank you, he told people to fix it, they didn't. Next. I turned on my YouTube, scanned the channels. By the way, this is a color. You got like some of these are red, some of these are blue, and different. Each of these different colored lines. It's kind of neat. But again, I get to hear like these, like this like little number, this one like up here, jumps back down there. No idea what the grid map they're using, but you know, these are Telegraph Avenue, goes from Oakland to Berkeley. I don't know what 96 was, you know, obviously Oakland. Cemetery, that's way from it near Hayward, towards the other side of Oakland. But yeah, I was like hearing the scanner, watching this live, sometimes before, sometimes after. He just said it's a company that puts out these standardized maps that do like kind of have the pre-gridded for you, so it's not a local thing. Obviously, some type of standard somewhere. Next, the help menu. You know, let's see. Well, test the station printer. Display prior calls. You know, the psycho neighbor viewers want to see what fire department is there. You know, reset timers. Truck data screen one. I think it's a bit of an F1, F2 type of thing, but works pretty good. University contact information. There's some fun stuff in here. User-written programs. Log-off didn't work. When I first found it, I figured I'd miss somebody. I figured, I'll just log them off. Didn't work. But fun stuff. We get to see what I was able to do here. Hazardous materials research. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll prove the point here. Next. This is a fun one. What if you have a password? Are you secure? Now, what are the numbers involved in this? Well, I'll show you. Next. 10 hours. 10 hours. Why is 10 hours a bad number? You can do it overnight. 10 hours is less time than when you went home versus next morning you showed up. What is 10 hours? Next slide. Okay, Daniel Klein did some very basic research about 1990. He grounded a lot of passwords. Daniel Klein is well known in more academic communities. He basically said, send me your password file. Send it to me via anonymous mail. Change the username. I don't care. Send it to me. I just want the passwords. And he ran through a password grinder. And it turned out that he had a really optimized dictionary of 432, which, by the way, Internet Morse Worm happened to use also, but I think the people who documented Morris Firm are nice enough not to involve clients' research into it. And let's see, we have 12 common account names, you know, admin, administrator, root, tor, guest, etc. You know, for each word, for each account, this way you do multiple logins in the same account, try to cut down on things. It's possible to brute force in 10 hours. This includes a 5-second delay between bad password attempts and ancient Unix bug. If you log in 5 times, bad password, it gets logged. If you log in 4 times and give up, it didn't log. Yes, it's been fixed, but you know, little tricks. So I did my statistics here on that number. So I'd log in 4 times, assume the 5-second delay, drop, redial. I was able to go through the entire list in 10 hours of it.
Just the point. You can do that with SSH today in the default configuration.
By the way, the language is called expect. It's one I use. Next. I discovered why, how juicy are things? I mean, come on, with a little bit of part-time hacking, you know, you can basically, unless you have, like, the super elite, you know, posted this morning, first person read butt tracks trick. Average, I find an open system every, about 4 times a week. Half of these open systems are Trimble dial servers. A lot of them are like IPX servers or have just internal LAN, no real outside communications. Yes? I have the systems going 24/7. Up to 3, I'm down to 2 lines. Next. Here's some more fun things. How insecure? Based on a small sample, 75% of vulnerable to some attack. Not just a sample, but you know, either wide open, vulnerable, not that bright. This is an interesting point. Dan Farmer did a quick little thing. Here's a few little, you've all heard about that little survey Dan Farmer did. My stats match his stats. He did internet, I did dial-up. Observation, again, UC Berkeley, most modems, most secure. So you can't say it's a resource problem. A wide open site's vulnerable. Sites that basically work if you identify yourself. The word vulnerable is borderline, but yeah, I felt that, you know, mind you, this is a small sample. This is something they had to do by hand, going through the lots and lots and lots of data. But in general, I found that most of it, looking at it as well, I can probably get into this given the time and checking. I mean, I love sites that say, please type in your pass site with your 5-digit password. I type an ABCD, and I get the error message, must be numeric. I'm serious, it's out there. By the way, you break that one in about 45 minutes. Lighting control system, Sears, Oakland. Next. I guess I had to throw this slide in here just because, you know, my corporate people are, what do I do? Okay. Build and install an intranet firewall. This way, when Evil Hobbit, I love picking on Hobbit because I know him and he won't take insult to take me to court. When Evil Hobbit breaks into your site or something, you know, at least he owns your modem bank subnet. Your modem bank is on subnet, right? Lie to me. Yeah? And you have IP filtering on this subnet so they can only do SSH to other machines inside your company. Right?
Yeah,
well, at least you can do it. You can do a PPP connection, and then you can so the PPP is all allowed to do TCP or mail connections into an internal machine through secure methods. You know, port 80 only to the internal web server or something. You know, not as bad a risk as wide open. At least you don't have a PI knock on your door for your employees hacking. Let's see. So plan ahead. Write a security plan. You know, you've seen this before. Come on. Test your firewall, see if it really does filters, advertise, you know, little things like that, just a generic slide. But, you know, internet firewall, big thing, please do it. Next. Now, what are you? TomeLoad. Good program, a little bit buggy, 16-bit, works pretty good, I like it. By the way, minor threats in jail, send them a card, first guy banned on the internet, EFF won't help him. I don't remember the exact case. Somebody here might probably know better. I think what they finally knocked him on was he had some hardware that he think was borrowed from the telco and he sold it to a friend. He sold a switch. He sold over $1 million of stuff from the telco. Okay, when he calls me up, he kind of worded it down. I'm on the list of people he's allowed to call. I figured I use the software this much. I actually sent him a letter saying, you know, hey, I use the software a lot. You know, Cody, by the way, has gotten the paperwork so they can actually send books directly into the jail system. You know, I said, listen, I walk up the street to Cody's, what books do you want? You know, I can't give you money. You know, I could, but you can't, it's not allowed to accept it or use it or whatever. And I was like, fine. So I did it. So what do you want? He goes, oh, okay. You can't even get 2600. Anything computer related you can't touch. You can't even read, like, how to program in HTML. If you send him email, he says, there's a paranoia. His mother prints it out and sends it to him. But come on, guys. You know, he's in there. Plus random utilities to read and process the Unix environment on Unix ticket. This runs under DOS 3.3 on several notebooks. I've got programs of Perl scripts that basically take the data, turn it to GIF images, process it. I've got a little Perl scripts that can do regular expression searches on the entire database and generic statistics. The database engine I use is Perl and egrep. Although as soon as I finish all the numbers in the area for a good lockdown, I'm going to move on, stop this stuff. I actually can't continue this anymore. I'll probably have to use a real database because it's getting unwieldy. If we do a full search on an unloaded machine, it takes like 3 minutes. Next. One question I get a lot from people is, how do you do this? Ernst & Young called me up. You know, how we have our problems with dial-up. So, what kind of modem do you have? Oh, I'm a sports jerk. So you went out and bought the cheapest modem? No, I mean, buy a good modem, seriously. Zytel kick butt, I use this 14.41 a little bit. Courier, beat out everything, kicks ass, use it. I mean, you want to do ringing detect. Speeds up your dial process. You could really speed things up. Average 250 an hour, Sportster, 80 an hour. And it's inaccurate. So you have the three ascending beeps saying the design is disconnected, Sportster go dizzy. They're really good at data negotiation and pulling the carrier out of a nosy line, but that's it. Had to throw away a lot of data. Next. Let's see, how much time I've taken of the current data. My little scan program says I spent this much time. I updated the slides recently. I guess I didn't update all my slides. So these numbers are supposed to match. I wrote this set of slides originally about 6 or 8 months ago at the Hackers Conference. But this number is supposed to be that number. But effectively, that many minutes, that many hours, that many days, 2.3 years. These are machine hours, modems. I get two at a time going right now, so I'm getting them going through time twice as fast. I've had up to 3 machines at a time. Currently, I have only 2. Maintenance. I use spare notebooks, notebook computers to do dialing. And it's too lazy to put together an old 46 system, load up and put a digit card in there and do it right. By the way, when you do this stuff, you wear out your floppies every 2 or 3 weeks. A little advanced maintenance there. Next. Been doing this for about 2.5 years or so. Some days been lost, discarded, corrupted, whatever. Occasionally systems aren't running 24/7, like here at DEF CON. Hopefully they're still going. Question? Yes? I don't know. I was on the cover of the San Jose Mercury News. Littman did an article about a year ago. It's been written up, everywhere. I mean, computer world, a lot of people talk about it. I mean, you show up on one paper, everybody calls you up about it. Every time some security breaking calls, I think we get a phone call or whatever. Good, I'm a media war. Every time I'm in the paper, I get another contract. But I don't know why they haven't noticed. Everybody tells me, you should be careful. They detect these things. No, they don't. 3 lines in my name, dialing, 250 calls an hour, and they haven't noticed.
They think you're a telemarketer.
But I'm told they like to crack down on telemarketers on residential lines. He said, my nose just can't do anything, true. But you'd think they'd do the Captain Crunch effect to take effect. The Captain Crunch effect term I kind of coined. Captain Crunch is, does I hack Bart. Bart busts Captain Crunch. Every time he brags about something, he brags about it, they brag about busting him. Well, I'm not quite going to be bragging about this stuff. I'm certainly not hiding it, and they haven't come to me yet. Yes? I'm sure I have, but I probably didn't notice. Although I'm told by Tom that one of my modem lines doesn't have caller ID on it, or has caller ID, so he was at a friend's house and my name popped up on his modem. Oops, I guess I missed that bank a lot. I have about three banks. The house line, I got a fax line which I've been using, so I got two modem dial-in banks. Anybody in the Bay Area wants at-cost internet access? That's what this org is. You know, we're just trying to pay for the lease line and by selling modem time. And, well, we have spare modems. People don't dial in all the time, so I just redirect one. You dial back, it's under the modem bank, you got to give up. Yes? Pseudorandom distribution. The pseudorandom system is a little bit screwy. What happens is that it does a random number call for each of the numbers, and then makes sure it hasn't been called yet. I know there are better ways than doing this. Last, I gave this talk at Hackers, and Donald Knuth stood up and goes, actually, if you add 841 to the number each time, you'll go around each one in a fairly random pattern. It'll be much faster. From Donald Knuth, I went, yes. By the way, anybody here knows who Donald Knuth is? Buy his book, Stories and Searching, and put it in the bathroom. Any book you've read that talks about sorting, searching, anything else, the guy who wrote that book had Donald Knuth's book there. I mean, this guy, you've got the linear algebra explaining why this method's faster. This is the way to do it. So, we have to plug here. The book just got republished. I mean, I don't think anybody in this room has read the entire book cover to cover. I couldn't. Okay. Never called me. I never got that. The only guy that came the closest to me, and yes, I lied, was a Berkeley policeman who and he missed his line. Used to be a BBS. So I think there's some lines in the area that go forward to his line, because he says I called him like four or five times in one night, which just wouldn't happen. And he actually *69 got a modem, did it again. Yes, my domain name is in my login prompt. Yes, it was. And and he saw them, figured it out, and sent me email, the whole thing. And I go, BBS, probably one of my users is using my dialogue bank and just wouldn't give up. I will talk to Johnny and punish him appropriately. He bought it. Abed?
Have you thought of stuck sticking *67 in front of all the numbers?
I guess I could. Yeah. Things seem to work so far. Questions? Yes?
Were you able to detect
anything
like secure ID or
well secure? The well secure ones are probably the ones that couldn't do anything. Like, no matter what you do, you get a pound sign. And no, it wasn't a root shell. What?
That's dollar modem.
Is this like, is that a modem that gives you pound signs or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I found a lot of those. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the well-secured ones also, by the way, I'll probably pick up in like five rings, use caller ID to not allow me to call in. Let's see, you probably just type in that magic word, even get a prompt. No preamble, no tell you who you are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're talking into a black box until you say, open sesame, all of a sudden the kingdom opens up. Yes, Jimmy, where do you want to log in today? Yeah. Yes? Yeah, I think, yeah, so let's take a look at it. The modem negotiates and records the data verbatim. So, even if it's, the modem does it right and then it gets recorded verbatim. And my log files, I get a lot of 8-bit data. I've got some little scripts that go through and wipe away the 8-bit and stuff like that. Yes? I'm getting sick of it. I don't want to be known as Pete Ward Isler Shipley. Please don't do that. I just decided I'd do something useful and get this going, and what I'm probably going to do is finish the local area. I'm 75% of the way of my local exchange. I'll probably finish off the local exchange and then close the books on it. Real fun data would be something to the effect of, you know, in 3 years we dial and compare. So that's just, I don't know, maybe somebody pays me or offers me a degree or something, I don't know. I could use a degree. A few other things, I tried ICN word dialing. Thank you to the person who gave it to me. I think he's a Christian, I think. Is he in here? He gave me a BitSurfer. The BitSurfer sucked. You get ICN word out really fast. 0.5 rejections, connecting rejection times. This slowed me down with a zero connection. I noticed more and more ISPs now have passwords that you have to give to even get to the ICN connection, stuff like that. But ISN word out wasn't that fruitful. Yeah, this redialed certain exchange that knew had ICN activated on them, or were ICN, you know, compliant or whatever. And it just wasn't juicy enough. A lot of times it gets thrown directly into PVP, which means to fix this stuff, I'm going to have to write a program that automatically... Actually, I have a lot of ideas on how to write a good word dial, or probably never do it, but if you ever do one, you want to have something where, you know, if this pattern, exact this program. So, for example, get a fax, do fax negotiation. When you're the originator, and you're connecting to a fax system, the remote system gives you all the information. Hi, my name, my ability, my paper size, paper length, can I accept PostScript? That's interesting, because you connect up to your other financial systems. Okay, I know who owns this fax number. So when you type in, legally you have your phone number in that connection banner, not your company name. And if you just have your company number, the phone number, theoretically, it's illegal, but nobody's ever going to take it to court. And whoever connects up to you knows who you are. And they word dial you, they know who you are. I don't know what information fax number gives you to TRW, but at least you know where to start word dialing. I'm not that sure. I found a lot of Taco Bells. They're few and far between. Sizzler doesn't have Sizzler. I do send a control E. I don't ever really sent that. We always sit down if the next connection is still up and actually look at the database and search it. From scanning through it physically, Taco Bell is the only thing that popped up. I know about six of them. And I checked, according to 2600, the default password is rollout. No, it wasn't. Yeah. He says it connects and you type control X, control Y, control Z, it's a memory test diagnostic. He doesn't know what it is. He sees it all over the place. I connect with V, I use V.everything because it connects to everything. It's actually one of the statistics I could probably give here is how many people have NMP, how many people have, you know, V42. Slide. I already answered this question. Deepest statistical analysis, scanning for facts. I don't know if any... Okay, a lot of modems in answer mode will do data fact switching. I don't know if anyone to do it in originate mode. I would love to be able to scan and find faxes, because I can probably give you an idea of, you know, fax, business equals fax, get an idea of statistics and residential, even though more of us having fax modems at home, etc. Yeah. Back when he's doing this weird thing. Oh, yeah, it's AT, Amber F something. Not Amber F, it's F class equals 2. It's just a standard. Then your motor. Well, he says there's a modem like this, and he'll do this. We'll see. Rescanning notes for growth. I doubt that I'll do that, but, you know, things can be done. Next. Oh, the end. Like I said, I wasn't here.